Chapter 4, Common Objections. Let's take on something a bit harder here. Sometimes I bring up RPGs to people, and they know what they are, maybe have some misconceptions, but they generally get the idea. But they level a bunch of objections against me on why role-playing games are a bad idea for people to play. And I've got a couple different ones here in mind that I want to tackle in this episode.
Okay.
First one, and this is one that is surprisingly common. I feel overwhelmed.
I think that this is something that is kind of the fault of gaming in general in the community. Role-playing games is a niche market. It's not common. Not a lot of people play it, and we tend to be inclusive. We have our own little special boutique stores we go to. You know, we have our own little language. We have our own little t-shirts with clever sayings on them. And when somebody tries to penetrate into this without any kind of guidance, it's really, really difficult.
What I think a lot of people feel when they get into role-playing games, well, I don't know where to begin. I don't know what story to tell. I can be anything. I can
what does
say
that mean?
Anything.
Can I be a bucket? What does that mean?
Can I do anything? I don't know.
Can I be a flying bucket?
Or, man, I picked up a rule book. I picked up a book for my friend rolled me a book for whatever game. And I just
300 pages of charts and numbers.
Or
and,
I went down to my local gaming store and they were naming systems and jargon. And I felt completely out of it. And what I would say to that objection right there.
Take a deep breath.
Don't let it bug you.
Yep.
Everyone has to start somewhere. If I came here from some backwater tribe off a Pacific island and you were trying to teach me how to play baseball, I don't think you would start with the really, really super detailed rules.
Right.
You'd be like, here's the basic idea. Throw the ball. Okay, that wasn't exactly right. We'd start real simple. And if I got frustrated, it's like,
you don't teach them the rules of baseball. You teach them how to play catch.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same thing here. Don't let this overwhelm you because everyone had to start somewhere and you'll figure it out eventually. And it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Just take it slow.
Because you know what? The hobby's worth it.
Yes.
And for someone who's been playing this for 20 years through many different groups and many different games, it is so worth it. This is my number one hobby. This is what I look forward to doing at the end of a long work week.
And in later chapters, we're going to offer you guys some insight on where to learn more about this hobby to try and figure out everything that's going on. But even before you get to that, you've got to look at it this way. When you play this game, there are two ways you can do it. Way one is you play a role-playing game with someone who has already played them before.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, and the person's not a complete douche, they're going to help you understand it and kind of ease you into it. They're going to help you figure this out. The flip side is you play a role-playing game with people who have never played it before. You're in a group of people where this is the first time around for all of you, in which case nobody knows better anyway, so what are you worried about?
Yeah,
you'll figure it out. Just keep trying and you'll figure it out.
Yes.
Objection two, the negative social stereotypes. This is one I went through with my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. He took an interest in this just because he's my brother-in-law, but he has no background in role-playing games. But he said, this is my wife's brother, so I want to see what it is he's doing. So he starts downloading, listening to our show. And he comes to me and says, I've never really tried a role-playing game before. And I think I didn't understand what they were about. And I said, well, what exactly do you mean? He says, well, the way I pretty much pictured it is it's a bunch of middle-aged men sitting in their mom's basement wearing capes and fake elf ears.
I don't think my mom would let me do that in her basement.
Yeah, one of the things, first of all, like many social stereotypes, it's really not fair.
I don't even own a cape.
But secondly, a lot of the times you see those social stereotypes in sitcoms, in little YouTube videos, you know what? Those were made by gamers.
Right.
That's us making fun of either ourselves or that guy.
Yeah.
Because in every hobby, there's that guy.
Oh, just like, you go to a football game or whatever, and you're sitting there and you've got your team jersey on, you've got your beer and you're cheering for the other team, and sitting next to you is a guy who is naked and painted blue.
Yes.
And he's got the big foam finger and just going crazy. Yes, there's that guy in every hobby.
In the five people, just like the five people that host the show, four are married.
Mm-hmm.
One is, he's in his younger 20s, so I mean, he's a little too young to be married.
Yeah.
All of us have college education.
Mm-hmm.
All of us live on our own.
Yes.
I hope you'll be willing to grant that we are socially not awkward.
Three of us have kids.
So don't assume that those stereotypes are what all gamers are like. Are those people out there? Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And they're in your hobbies, too.
Yes. And but do not presume.
But we love them.
But do not presume that everyone who is in role-playing games fits some crazy, wacky stereotype you saw on a TV show or a YouTube video or a Dateline special, because it's simply not true. This ties right into big objection number three, psychological objections. Role-playing games make you damaging.
They're harmful.
They make you crazy.
You know, when my wife was in college, I think she was taking a psych class, and she did a paper and she did a bunch of research on the myth of role-playing games about how, you know, they drive you to crime. All these claims people make about they drive you to crime and they do all this scary
and
stuff.
Soon you can't distinguish between yourself and your character. I am my elf and I hang myself when my elf dies. And
she dug up some research. The FBI in the 80s did a research study on the effects of role-playing games. And you know what their conclusions were? Now, I wish I could like cite the actual research, but I can't. So I won't. So
we'll put this under lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah. Think of it as Wikipedia. But, so anyway, she found, the FBI found, that role-playing games were a really good thing because it got people friends and they were in social groups and they were doing things together.
They're off the street.
They're off the street. People who commit crimes are the loners. You know, the ones who don't have any friends and don't have any social interactions, and they're the outcasts and rejects of society.
You could apply also this exact same type of logic back to any hobby that's out there.
Right.
Can you find someone who would go out and hang themselves because their team did not win the World Cup this year?
I'm sure there's some
and
sad
the answers,
individual.
Yes, absolutely. And when you look at this person, what you see is a sad and disturbed individual who probably had other things wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this became an outlet for that neurosis, psychosis, right. whatever the tragedy of their life was.
They brought baggage to the party. The party did not give them the baggage.
Role-playing games are the same way. I can sit down and we can play a little game of make-believe, and that does not mean we're going to walk away crazy. Most people growing up, probably at some point, they played...
You ever play Cops and Robbers?
Cops and Robbers, and Cowboys and Indians. Whatever. Yeah, watch little girls playing House. I'm talking about not House MD.
Innocent House.
Right. But, you know, we don't presume that, oh, they're playing Cops and Robbers, so that means the little boy who got picked to be the robber is going to grow up to rob banks.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing here. This hobby is generally comprised of reasoned adults who can perfectly distinguish between fiction and reality, and people who play these games for decades, and that line never becomes blurred for them. And when their character dies, sure, they get annoyed, the same way you'll probably get annoyed if you fail to beat a level of a video game.
Right.
But that's as far as it goes. The stories, the horror stories that you hear on the news are isolated events that oftentimes are taken out of the broader context of the other psychological issues this person was struggling with to begin with.
Yeah. This person was a heroin addict, but it was the role-playing games that set him down the wrong path. Like,
Objection number four, the last of the big objections that I regularly hear is the religious objection.
Yes.
That role-playing games are a
I got hit square in the face with this one time.
Oh, I've been hit square in the face with this one many, many, many times. That role-playing games are gateways to the occult. They encourage all kinds of weird anti-biblical worldviews or whatever. And I want to say that that's patent nonsense for one simple reason. And there are groups out there, by the way, that have written really, really excellent point-by-point responses to this. This show, by design, is apolitical and a-religious.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like I'm promoting any particular religious view here. But if you go to Google and do a search on the Christian Gamers Guild, they have a great FAQ that works point-by-point through the common religious objections to role-playing games. But the general point that I want to make here is this. A role-playing game is no different than a book or a movie or a magazine or a painting. It is a blank slate upon which you can put anything. Can I make a role-playing game that teaches all kinds of horrific, corrupt, twisted, immoral ideas? Yes, absolutely.
And I've read books like that, too.
And I've seen movies like that. And just like
you, American Psycho was a great book. I'm yes, not going to live that lifestyle.
Precisely. Just like we can find movies out there that teach really good, moral, upstanding, encouraging ideas. Mm-hmm. And we can find ones like Caligula
yep,
that do not. And the role-playing game is the same way. There is nothing inherent in the hobby of role-playing games that says, gee, in every game you play, there has to be these representations of whatever concept that offends you. So the first point here is that you can simply remove those.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is I want to reiterate a point we made under the psychological objections, which is the vast majority of reasoning adults can differentiate between fiction and reality.
My parents taught me when I was a young kid that the guy who just got shot in that movie is an actor.
Yes, he's just fine.
And I grew up with that. Yeah, and he's like, guess what? Next week he'll be in another movie. And sure enough, he was.
Right. And same thing, if you ever, let's say that you ever worked in stage, or you're a little bit older and you've got kids who are in drama right now, and they are picked to play the bad guy in the play, does that mean this is twisting their mind and ruining them to become some kind of evil person? And the answer is no, obviously not. I mean, can somebody who has some kind of existing issue get caught up in that? Sure. Mm-hmm. But is that the normative experience for the vast majority of sane individuals out there? No, absolutely not. And role-playing games are no more likely to twist your mind in that regard than any other hobby on the face of the earth.
That's right.
This has been a production of Fear the Booth, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to fearthebooth.com.